Thanks for listening to the best of The Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I'm going to turn it over to Rob Parker in a moment because he's got some trash he wants to talk about. None other than the great LeBron James.
LeBron James,
we didn't talk about it yesterday because obviously it was Monday coming off an NFL weekend.
Busy week.
But, but yesterday was media day all around the NBA. And Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Jimmy Butler didn't show up in Minnesota. But, you know, it was great sound bites from guys all around the league. And, of course, with LeBron having so much going on in Hollywood since he's joined the Lakers, it was only natural that he was asked on media day, hey, did you come here to be a movie star and producer and mogul, or did you come here to hoop? Here's what LeBron said.
My decision was based solely on my family and the Lakers. I'm a basketball player. I play ball. That's what I do. That's what I live by. And when I do it at the level I do it at, everything else take care of itself. So, you know, as far as my business, those things have been taking care of itself way before I even came out here.
Oh, look! My nose!
He sounded like Pinocchio yesterday. If you're a Lakers fan, you gotta go, what? This guy came to L.A. He didn't come to L.A. He came to Hollywood. Chris, he said, did you hear his nose growing every time he opened his mouth yesterday? You know I'm right. Come
no,
on, LeBron.
I don't know you're right.
Don't tell me that.
I don't know you're
right. And then he's going to say, everything took care of itself before I got here. Hogwash. Every other day there was some announcement about some movie, about some TV show, and LeBron wants to be the star of it, and Space Jams 2, and he wants to remake the Planet of the Apes, and Jaws. I mean, every day, I didn't know where it was going. He wants to do The Wiz. I'm like, what are you doing, LeBron?
Hold on.
There's no way you came here for basketball.
You are letting the facts just go awry. You're not even addressing the facts. You're just going off emotion. Here's the facts, Rob Parker. The Wall, that's LeBron's game show. That was going on. That was on television while he was still playing with the Cavaliers. Survivor's Remorse, his show that's on Stars, the Stars Network. That started years ago while he was
We're not talking about that stuff, Chris.
Hold on. Space Jam. Space Jam was announced this summer. Space Jam 2, he's going to remake Michael Jordan's movie. That was in the works a couple years ago, again, while he was still in Cleveland, and then The Shop, his show on HBO, that has been running on uninterrupted on the wet internet for, you know, several months, if not longer than that.
Chris.
So that's, none of this stuff is new. There are a few new things, but he had a ton of stuff going on while he was still in Cleveland, Rob. So this is not like he got to the Lakers and I spent all his time putting these things together. Most of them were already in motion.
Sound the alarm for Laker fans. Get ready to be had. LeBron James did not. He's out of the championship business. LeBron James is here to be Meryl Streep. He wants to be a big movie star. He's not interested. You know why he's here? Because he wants to live in L.A. and be a mover and shaker and all that other stuff. And, by the way, If he can win a championship, fine. Otherwise, he won't be able to get any more L's in his championship ledger because either they've beaten the Warriors and they're going to the finals or they're not going at all. So he's cool with it. I don't believe he's here to do anything other than to finish up his career. He has plenty of time to do all that movie and TV stuff you mentioned when he retires. He still would be
a young man.
No.
You act like he's the first guy to do this. Shaquille O'Neal was in movies while he was a player.
Flops.
Magic Johnson was a business mogul
Stop.
Or learning to be a business mogul while he was a player in L.A. Michael Jordan was in movies and had his
what
business.
What movies was Michael Jordan in?
Going.
What movie?
Space Jam. Space Jam.
One movie. What movies? What TV show what he's doing?
He was in that movie the summer of his comeback. When he had arguably his best season ever and the Bulls won 72 games.
I'm not
games.
Saying he
that
can't play.
That was the summer he was filming
Chris,
that.
Chris, I'm not saying he can't play because he's doing it, but I'm telling you the man's focus is on other things and you cannot deny it. That's why
yeah, I can. If he comes out and plays poorly, then you can say that. Now,
Chris,
it could be age too. But if he comes out and plays poorly, you can rip him and say, oh, he came here to be a Hollywood mogul. He's done. But how can you say he's
trying to win championships? Why did they ask him that question if nobody would think anything of it? That's why it's an issue and why he was even asked it, because so many of the stories that came out this summer were about LeBron and Hollywood projects. And the reason I say he's out of the championship business – LeBron always wants the deck stacked. This is the first time he's ever gone or did anything where he doesn't know what the future is. He doesn't know who his second and third guys are going to be.
The deck wasn't stacked in Cleveland
yes,
when
was.
He went back there.
Yes, it was.
No, they had Kyrie Irving. They won, 30 games before he got there?
No.
With the same Kyrie Irving. Kevin Love, they traded for him.
No, but he knew
smart.
The trade.
He could orchestrate that trade.
But he knew that the trade was coming beforehand. That's why he didn't mention Wiggins in the letter that he was coming back to Cleveland, because he knew
Rob,
it.
But, Rob, what player – Magic Johnson didn't want the best team he could get. Larry Bird didn't want the best team you can get. Are you crazy?
No.
Michael Jordan even wanted them to make moves to get certain players.
I'm not talking about that. I'm telling you that LeBron came here regardless of who else was here because – it's about LeBron and the ending of his career. LeBron James, if he wins, fine. But he didn't come here. He didn't come here to win. If he wins, fine. I'm not saying that he would turn down winning.
I don't believe.
I think he's good, Chris, with where he is in his legacy and win, lose, or whatever. He's fine and he's ready to move on. I believe that.
I think there is some truth to that. Give us a call, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. We can get your thoughts. You can weigh in with the iCouple on LeBron James. I'll tell you this, Rob, and this is something I know. He is satisfied or content with where he's at. He's still, of course, he wants to win. But he feels like he's already done enough in his career where he's content with what he's done. He's already shown he's one of the greatest players of all time.
Is he content with that?
But he does want to win. But how, I mean, this is what went into his decision. He said family. So it was family winning or playing for the Lakers. And I'm not saying the movies and Hollywood and all that didn't play some role. But I think L.A. was the best place for him that gave him a combination of a pretty good basketball situation where you got these young players.
You said pretty
and you're
good.
You're going to have cap room.
LeBron James has
but
an
you're gonna
old.
Have cap room. You're going to have cap room to go out and get somebody. We can talk about that later. And your family has homes in L.A. They've lived here in the summer. The kids are comfortable there.
They could still live. They could still live in
Philadelphia,
L.A.
Philadelphia was a place I think would have been a better basketball situation.
Thank you.
But it wouldn't have been a better family situation.
But his family could live in L.A.
And he never denied that his family was involved.
But why couldn't he live in – his family could live in L.A. basketball 6 months a year, Chris.
He doesn't want to be apart from his family. I mean, that's something that is legitimately important to LeBron, having grown up without a father. He certainly doesn't want to be apart from his kids any more than he has to. So I just think L.A. – I mean, look – later in the season and the playoffs, and even when he said it after the finals, when he said it's going to be about my family and winning, that's when I knew for a fact he's going to L.A. There's no question, because that offered the best family situation and basketball situation combined. So it's a lot to talk about. I think you just want to pick on LeBron James because of what he's done to the Detroit Pistons.
No,
over
it has
the
nothing
years.
To do. You know
and,
I'm not
know,
a fan.
Everybody can see it.
I'm not a fan. And I don't care what he did to the Detroit Pistons. I covered that game. I wasn't rooting in that game. I wasn't in the stands with a Pistons jersey on. I witnessed it.
You've been watching with your mouth agape.
No,
oh
it wasn't.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't a gape.
This 22-year-old kid is destroying the Bad Boys remix.
This is my nightmare.
All I'm saying is, if I'm a Laker fan, I would be very distraught and thinking, LeBron's not coming here to win any championships. I don't believe he's going to win any, and we'll get that 877-99 on Fox.
Yeah, we're going to get more.
Because I don't believe anybody's going to believe. I think they heard the same thing I heard.
I'm not
they heard
saying
Pinocchio.
He doesn't have other interests. But if you think he's going to go out next year and average 17 points a game, you got another thing coming.
Never buddy. Said that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We have up the Eagles Pro Bowl tight end, Super Bowl champion. You can follow him on Twitter at Z_Ertz_86. Z_Ertz_86. It's 86. It's Zach Ertz. Zach, welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're great,
doing
man.
Great.
We're great.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
You guys coming off a big win over Indianapolis in Carson Wentz's first game back. How did you feel about his performance and really the chemistry that you guys had as receivers with him and things like that?
Yeah, man, I thought he played extremely well. You know, a guy coming off a major knee surgery 9.5 months ago to come out there and really play like his old self is really remarkable. I mean, I've seen his entire journey from the moment he got hurt in Los Angeles to where he was on Sunday, and the guy just grinded. I was so proud of the way he just approached each and every day. He focused on getting better. He didn't waver in the pursuit. You know, he had a goal of playing week one, but it really wasn't attainable from a medical standpoint. So he just really trusted the doctors. And like you said, the chemistry is going to improve. It's game one in the NFL going really with only 5 days of prep from last week. So we're going to get better. We have to be better. But I thought it was a great win for our football team. The resiliency that we continue to show is probably the main takeaway I took from the game.
Zach, but before the season started, I picked you guys to repeat. I'm not trying to get any brownie points, but here was the reason I picked you guys. I thought because Carson Wentz actually, and we like to call him Wentz in a lifetime on FS1, but because he wasn't the winning quarterback, this guy was going to be the NFL MVP had he not gotten hurt right at the end of the season. And he's the motivating factor to me, like him coming back. Sometimes you win a Super Bowl, everybody's like gets fat and lazy and happy, right, because you won the ultimate goal. But I don't think Carson Wentz is going to let you guys rest on your laurels. What do you think of the idea of him, you know, you won the Super Bowl, not with him leading the way. Nick Foles played great. But Carson Wentz has something to play for, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that was so unique about last year is that we lost a lot of players, really, really talented players at key positions like our left tackle, Jason Peters, will probably be a Hall of Fame left tackle. We lost Jordan Hicks, who has the potential to be a Pro Bowl linebacker, and Carson Wentz. I mean, these are guys that are really, really talented football players. Those guys didn't have that postseason success. So all three of those guys are pushing us each and every day to never be satisfied, never be content. And I think it's also just the mindset that we have on the football team. You know, we're a veteran team. We understand how hard it is to win in the NFL, and we're never going to be satisfied with what we've done lately. We always want to improve. We got guys that really love to compete, not only in the games, but really during the week in practice. You know, we have periods during the week where it's ones against the ones, offense versus defense, and we're going at it in practice. And I think that just maintains that competitive atmosphere that we have. And it shows each and every Sunday how competitive we are, and how tight we are as a team.
It's the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker on Fox Sports Radio. We're joined by Zach Ertz, Pro Bowl tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles. Zach, last year you guys kind of snuck up on people. As they say, you were the hunter, and this year you're the hunted. Have you noticed any difference in the way opponents are going at you guys now that you guys are the defending champions?
I would just say that I think each and every week we're getting each team's best shot, you know. When you're the defending, when we played old Super Bowl champions in years past, you know, we were so focused on beating them. We were doing everything we possibly could to beat that team to prove that we were going to be the next wave of the NFL. So I think from just being in their shoes, I understand how much they want to beat us each and every week. And we embrace that challenge. It's not something that we shy away from. We understand that the target's on our back, but it's not something that we're shying away from. We're a confident football team, and we love the team we have, and we're very confident in ourselves.
Malcolm Jenkins earlier this year talked about taking down the Super Bowl banners, I guess, in the locker room.
Yep.
Did you understand that? Were you with that, how was that received by most of the players?
No, it was definitely. I was kind of thinking the same thing. You know, Malcolm's a guy that someone asked him a simple question and he gave honest feedback, and that's what I love about Malcolm. Is he's very blunt and honest, but at the same time, the message was right. I mean, the locker room that won the Super Bowl the previous year was not the same locker room that we currently have. The guys that won the Super Bowl last year, that team that won it last year, is not the same team we have. So to just walk into the locker room and see the sign every day, we didn't want guys to get a false sense of entitlement, especially the new guys that you just walk into the locker room and we're just set up for a repeat. You know, the guys that are new didn't see the grind that it took the previous year. So we just wanted to keep the that whole culture of what we have is unique, and everyone needs to come aboard and embrace it and come along with us. And it's not just going to happen overnight. This thing's a process. So everyone was on the same page with Malcolm. Our owner understood it. The sign is down in the locker room, but I was definitely on his side.
Zach, one of the more controversial things that's been going on with the league are these roughing the passer penalties. What is your thoughts on the way that the league is calling this stuff?
I think it's an extreme right now. Obviously, I think everyone kind of feels that way. I think the intentions of kind of the Aaron Rodgers thing last year is kind of magnifying everything. Obviously, we don't want to lose players in this league. That's the bottom line. But I think at the same time, these are guys that are freak athletes running 4-5s at the quarterback, and it's almost impossible to ask of them what the NFL is trying to ask them to do. I think I understand the driving into it, but I think it should be, if it's like so obvious that there's malicious intent, if a guy's just running at him and there's no way he can slow down. Like, some of the guys have been called, it's just physically impossible in my opinion, some of these, but, this is what happens with those new rules. You know, it's tough to adjust at the beginning, and guys start finding ways to adjust, or they adjust the rules just a little bit. And I think that's what we'll see, hopefully, in the next couple weeks.
Hey, Zach, you have a family foundation, and you guys just announced the City of Love Fund. It's an event coming up in November. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so we're doing a foundation event, our first one in Philly. My wife is a stud. She is the better athlete in this relationship.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's a world-class soccer player. So I'm just wearing her laurels. So we started a family foundation. We're having our first event in Philly in November. We're excited. We want as many people to come as possible. And so the City of Love Fund is a fund where all the money is going to stay in Philadelphia that we raise. You know, it's not going to go back to the Bay Area where I'm from and where we met. It's not going to go to Haiti. That really called us to start this foundation. My trip back to Haiti in the spring kind of really called me to start this foundation as a family. But the money is going to stay here in Philly. It's going to be, we love this city. The city has given us so much. And so we just want to take the opportunity to give back to them.
Oh, that's nice.
You guys, your foundation, it focuses on three main things: youth, sports, education, and families. What led you to pick, you know, you and your wife to pick those three things to focus on?
Well, yeah, I think my wife and I have had tremendous opportunities in all three of those pillars. You know, youth sports, we had access to amazing coaches. We had access to amazing playing fields. So we just had amazing opportunities in that regard. And there's a lot of people in this country that don't have access to the things that we had. Education is primary for anyone in this country, in my opinion, in order to succeed in life. The backbone of this country has been built on education. My wife went to Santa Clara University. I went to Stanford. We understand how important it is, the benefits going and just having equal opportunities to for education is paramount. Is how we see it. And then just families, you know, we want this family foundation. It's not just the Zach and Julie family. We want to invite everyone to be a part of this family and really help kind of change this this entire country, you know, whether that be one person at a time or one family at a time. That's our goal. So that's kind of the three main pillars, and that's how we see it.
Well, good luck. Zach. Yeah, great, great. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's terrific. And good luck with the City of Love event and obviously on the field.
They're going to repeat. The Eagles are going to repeat. Remember, I told you this, and Carson Wentz will be the reason why. Remember that.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We've got Devin Funchess, as we promised. You can follow him on Twitter at @D_Funch, F-U-N-C-H. Devin, welcome to The Odd Couple.
How you doing? How you doing?
Man, we're doing great.
Great, great, man. Hey, my daughter went to or goes to Michigan. I know you went there. I got to ask you, man, have they turned the corner? Are they back or should Harbaugh still be on the hot seat?
I think they're doing good. I didn't really get to catch the last couple games, but I think they're going to do good. It's always that first game that always is the shaky one, but I think they turned the right stone and heading in the right direction right now.
I'm just waiting for them to beat a good team, and then I think that Michigan has turned its corner.
Yeah, they got a stretch. I think they got a couple weeks back-to-back when they play some top teams. So I'm excited to watch. I know everybody else is.
Right, right. Well, Devin, last year a lot of people felt like you kind of had your breakout season. What did you enter this year wanting to do individually? Like, what are your individual goals for yourself this year?
Individually, I was just making sure that I got my body back healthy and make sure everything was all together, and I just played my role on the team this year, and everything else a telltale.
What about the team? Are you happy with where you guys are to start?
It's always tricky when you get that new OC and he's trying to figure guys out and all that. But I think we've been playing good ball, and we got a good win against Cincy the other day. And I think going into the bye week, I think we needed that. So everybody just stay healthy, and we can keep it going.
You mentioned the new offensive coordinator. How have things changed this year for you guys on that side of the ball?
Never really changed, but the mentality that he comes with, he's a perfectionist and makes sure everybody else is following the leader, so to say. So everything's been good. Everything is fun. He's been having a lot of fun with us. So it's good that we can just continue to have fun, even with the change at the OC.
So Greg Olsen's out, right, with a foot injury. That makes you the number one option. Does things change for you, or how does that alter – coming into this coming week?
On our offense, he's been preaching it. Coach Turner, North Turner, he's been preaching it since he got here. No one man makes this offense move and makes it shake. So the ball gets spread around in his offense, and it's fun. It's you see C-Mac had a phenomenal game this past game on the ground. And then we just can't wait to, you know, all around have that perfect game and minimal mistakes.
It's The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker on Fox Sports Radio. We're joined by Carolina Panthers wide receiver Devin Funchess. Devin, I assume you had, you know, a relationship with Kelvin Benjamin in the past. When you saw, you know, he was critical of Cam Newton just before the season started, really in the preseason. What did you think of that whole scenario that went on between those two?
I thought it was kind of awkward for him to be, you know what I'm saying, on a different team and just shedding it to the world. I mean, of his personal feelings. And, you know, we usually keep those things intact and do what we usually do. But he's a man with his own opinion, and that's what he brought upon the world, I guess. But it's all love with KB, and I mean, everybody does what they do. I mean, I hope he continues to have a great season like he's been doing, and I wish him the best.
A couple years ago, Cam Newton was as electric and as good as anybody. Won the MVP, 15-1. You guys, 15-1, right? Was the record, I think, and everything. And you know, there's been some bad seasons, and now people are. It sounds like to me, people are up and down or questioning Cam and where his talent lies. How good is he, how good can he be? Can he return back to that MVP type season?
I see it as this. I mean, everybody has their own opinion, like I say. I mean, we went 6-10 after the Super Bowl, and then last year we were 11-5. I mean, not too many teams can do that, and three teams out of our division made it to the playoffs. So we got a tough division, and he's a hard worker. I'm sure if everybody follows him on all his social media, he's up early in the morning doing his Pilates and swimming and walking and he's the ultimate competitor, and it's a blessing to just get to play with a guy like him, with being that dominant on that field. But I think we got a lot to show the world this year and prove a lot of people wrong. So as soon as we get off this bye week, we get back to working and showing everybody what's really Panther football.
Hey, and one more I want to follow up, Chris, on Cam. What about Cam's wardrobe and the way he dresses? And I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, he's out there and he's doing his own thing and he's happy about it. And when you see the outfits up close or whatever, what do you think?
Cam is a mogul. You know, he's just a guy who is all about being different and owning oneself. And he came to be one with himself, and that's the way he likes to dress. I mean, I don't fault him for dressing the way he dresses. Everybody has their own swag when it comes to things like that, and that's what Cam swag is, the hat and the flag. I mean, I like it that he gets to be his own person. Nobody dresses like him and things like that. So he started that whole swag off with how he dresses, and he's just trying to be that role model to the other people.
Keep it real. Will we ever see you in one of his outfits?
No, sir. I dress myself. I dress myself to look good and look the part. That's what I'll do.
I figured you were going to say no way, no how. I kind of figured that.
Not at all. That's not me. That will never be me. And I will stay looking clean.
100%.
Do you feel like, I mean, when you hear people name off teams in the NFC that they think can make it to the Super Bowl, and, you know, it's obviously the tougher conference, or we all believe that. I feel like you guys don't get mentioned a lot. Do you feel like people are sleeping on you guys?
It's always, I mean, I've been here 4 years, and it's always been like that from my point of view. But, I mean, it's cool, you know. We could be the last guy picked whenever it comes to. And the last guy picked usually got the most spunk and the most pizzazz. So when we get to the final dance, it's going to be fun, and we're going to have to put on the show for the world.
It's been a big story in the NFL so far is the roughing the passer penalties.
Yeah.
And one quarterback that doesn't seem to get the benefit of those calls is Cam because he's so big, he's so athletic. They treat him like a running back. What's your take on that?
Just looking at that, you can just go back and look at the Clay Matthews situation that's been going on. And if you look, I'm not saying that this is what happened, and I'm not putting on why we lost the game or any of that type of stuff. But if you go back and look at the last play of Atlanta, a tackle worse than what Clay Matthews did on who's the quarterback out there in Minnesota?
At Kirk Cousins, yeah. Right.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins. A hit worse than that just happened. And you just sit here and say, and Cam is supposed to take that because he's 245. No, I mean, they just got to – if they're going to get it right and throw all of the flags.
Right.
And you don't want to throw them, don't throw him because Clay Matthews, he's getting fined. He's taking, they taking food away from his family by the fines that they're giving him. So if you're going to do it, they got to just do it right. I feel like they're not doing it right now, and I'm sure plenty of other defenders feel like they are doing it right.
Well, Devin, thanks a lot, man, for joining us. I know you guys got an off week this week, but good luck couple weeks when you face the Giants, I think. So thanks for joining us on the iCouple.
Yep, and continued success.
Appreciate that. Go Blue.